I'm Pastor Bruce Ray. I'm pastor of Juanita Community Church. This is not the church that Ruth attended, but some of her family attends here, and we've known her for a good long time and have appreciated her so very much. So this seems like a very appropriate place for us to gather together this afternoon. On behalf of Ruth's family, I want to welcome each one of you. We're glad that you're able to be here. We pray that this will be a comfort and encouragement, a blessing to you, and that it will be to the glory of Jesus Christ. The psalmist Asaph wrote, "You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel, and afterward you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Let's bow together. You hold us, O Lord, by our right hand. Guide us with your counsel, with your word, and by your spirit. And when this life is done, you receive us into glory. Whom have we in heaven but you? And this earth really has nothing that we desire besides you. Having you by grace through faith, we have all things. Without you, however much we have in this world, we have nothing. Our flesh and our heart not only may fail, our flesh and our heart shall certainly fail. But, O Lord, you never fail. You are the faithful one, the gracious one, the loving one, the sovereign one, worthy of all honor and glory and power and dominion. And you are the strength of our hearts. And you in all of your glory, in all of your grace, you are the inheritance of those who trust in Jesus. Glorify your name in our midst. May our praying and our singing, may the reading of your word, may our celebration of the life of this servant of yours be acceptable in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Would you take the hymnal that is in the pocket in front of you and turn to number 600, "He Leadeth Me." Hymn number 600, "He Leadeth Me." And those of you who are able, please stand and sing this hymn together. Please be seated.
Pastor Ray Reese will read the Old Testament lesson.
You know, this is one of the greatest of all psalms. I know this was one of Ruth's. The 23rd Psalm, sometimes referred to as the Shepherd's Psalm, because God is the great shepherd of the sheep. And a shepherd knows everyone, calls them by name. And he even goes out when one gets in danger and protects that one by even offering his own life. So in the New Testament, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. So I'd like to invite you, if you remember even part of the words of, probably remember maybe all the words of, but let's say it together. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You notice he says, I don't hope I will. He says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Well, what a wonderful psalm that is. And a nice follow-up is for all the saints, page 358.
maybe just give me a second. Thank you. I hope to get through the rest of this, but first off, I'm honored to have the opportunity to share a brief summary of Ruth's life. I added a few thoughts this morning that were mostly verified by Nicole, but I want to call attention as we start today in remembering Ruth that she was part of that greatest generation. And if you study it and look at it, there aren't many left from that generation of Americans that were born in the first 20 or so years of the 20th century. And I know there's a few here today, but not many. And that generation is one that we all owe a debt of gratitude to. Ruth was alive for 95 years, roughly 40% of the declared history of this country. A long life by the standards of our time on this earth. A tremendous life. Kennedy said of this generation in 1961 that they, as they came of age, that they were born in this century, tempered by war, disciplined by a hard and bitter peace, and proud of their heritage. When I think of Ruth, I think of her disciplined focus and a drive that propelled an extraordinary life across generations and continents. I'm excited to hear in this next section, after we share this eulogy, some of the things I probably don't know about Ruth. I've already had a few conversations that surprised and amazed me about her story. Ruth was born to Clarence Paul and Clara Emma Clutterham Seeley in Seattle, Washington, on December 18, 1919. Her parents were both strong followers of Jesus Christ, and her father had significant spiritual impact on Ruth and her children. She was raised in rural and agricultural Grandview, Washington, where she was valedictorian of her high school class. Her family ate what they grew and sold the rest to keep a roof over their heads. I'm guessing it was in this era that she developed the discipline and focus that would carry her through 95 years on this earth. I'm also guessing that it's where she learned to eat kale long before it became America's superfood. That was a part that I added. I only know that because she was serving us kale 20 years ago. It was extremely important to her parents that Ruth attend college in an era when few girls did. She went on to Seattle Pacific College and graduated with a Bachelor of Science degree in 1946. She then earned a Master of Education degree in 1964. God has used and will continue to use that education and passion for learning and teaching for generations to come. She married a fellow SPC student, Haven Crum, on May 29, 1942. They first lived in Seattle and then moved to Mercer Island in 1949. At that time, Mercer Island was at the edge of the known universe. And their Ballard friends pleaded with them not to move so far away. They had five children: Gretchen, Laurel, John, who died shortly after birth, Sterling, and Greg. Mrs. Crum taught school first in Renton and then for a couple dozen years in the Bellevue School District, primarily at Woodridge Elementary. Ruth's husband, Haven, of 26 years, passed away in 1968. As Ruth tried to figure out how her Lord would want her to serve him next, she took a one-year leave of absence from Bellevue Public Schools, packed up her three young children, and taught fifth grade for the 1970-71 school year at the Wycliffe Bible Translators Missionary Base on Lake Yarena, or in Spanish, Yaranacocha, near Pucallpa, Peru. When Ruth's last child left the nest, she retired from teaching in Bellevue and became a self-supporting teacher and missionary. Ruth served for 4+ years in the Yemen Arab Republic and served almost 8 years in Taiwan. After Ruth was 70 years of age, Taiwan refused to give her a new visa because they were afraid she was too old and might burden their system. They should have looked into her heritage, as her father had lived to 104 years of age, and Ruth went on to live another 25 years. Ruth had also had stints of 3 to 12 months, each serving the Lord in England, Ukraine, Guatemala, Peru, Dallas, and Seattle. Ruth actively encouraged missionaries, fellow believers, and their work in many more countries. Ruth moved to Mount Vernon, Washington in 1991, where she was active for more than 10 years with foreign students at the local college, built strong church relationships, helped get immigrant families settled, and worked international mission relationships extensively. Still remember, almost 7 years ago, January of 2007, on a flight to Taiwan, she flew there just 8 years ago this month, and I think what was her final trip. And I remember thinking, wow, at 87 years of age, to be teaching and spreading the gospel and doing the work of the Lord in a foreign country. To our knowledge, Ruth never received earnings or gifts of any sort to do her missions work. She lived frugally, managing her own funds and growing them primarily by buying, renting, and selling several houses. You probably did not know that she was the inventor of house flipping. She then dispersed her funds liberally to dozens of missionaries and others loved by God or laboring for God, as well as those she'd helped immigrate to this country. In 2001, she moved to Crestwood Park, an independent living retirement facility at Crestwood Shoreline. Ruth continued to serve God around the world as she was able, in regular and ongoing encouragement, provision of missions funds, and shipping tens of thousands of books to foreign countries, one M-bag at a time. Omer shared with me the night she passed that for many years he did this with her. Tremendous, tremendous effort that none of us know or understand the impact of. There's people with food, with books, and most importantly, the message of the gospel that you and I will never meet. After a couple of falls, she finally needed some additional care. And moved to Bridal Fam Manor Adult Family Home in Kirkland for the last 2 years of her life. During those last couple years in 2013 and 14, she could only serve our Lord in very small ways, but she could still pray to God in big ways. And again, I'm guessing it's had an impact that none of us here see. Ruth left 4 children, 10 grandchildren, 22 great-grandchildren, and about that many more who have come after birth to call her mother or grandmother. She has also many spiritual children around the globe. She was preceded in death by her parents, husband, and siblings Clarence, Muriel, and Bessie. She's survived by her brother, Arthur Seeley, and nieces, nephews, and many other family members. So as we look at her life today, in these few moments where it's hard to sum up 95 years, I believe that we see in a person an extraordinary example, a disciplined focus and lifelong dedication to her craft of teaching. She didn't see it as a job. She saw it as a passionate investment in the future of other people. Some in this country, some around the world. But she dedicated her life to it. Nova shared that her work as a teacher inspired her to become a teacher. We see that example continued in someone that rebooted her life after losing her husband at a young age, moving her family to Peru for a year and taking the time to continue serving the Lord and figuring out what God would have her do for the rest of her life and then going about doing it as long as she could. Raising funds on her own for missions work through buying and selling homes. She lived very frugally, kept very little for herself, and worked very hard. She then embarked on a second career as a missionary, providing for the spiritual and physical needs of so many. May her life serve as an inspiration to all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. This next section is titled Reflections. It's a time set apart for us to share some memories of Ruth and her impact on our lives. Often it's done as an open mic kind of thing where a microphone is passed around and people who want to can stand up and share what they want to share. But look around you. We don't say this in church very often. We want the focus right here, but look around you. Do it. Turn your neck as far as it will turn. Look at how many people are here this afternoon. And all of you are here, not because you're members of this church, or not because we have a special speaker, which we do, but you're here because you know and love this woman. And you each have a very different relationship to her, a singular relationship to her. Some of you, I know there's a brother, Art is here. There are cousins. There are children. There are children in law. Maybe some children outlaws. There are grandchildren. There are great-grands, 22 of them from what Brian said. And there are friends and neighbors and co-workers and people who knew the family and came to show support, who maybe didn't have a direct relationship or link with Ruth. But we're all here out of love and respect for that common person, that person who is common to all of our lives. And we each have that singular perspective. We know her from in a different way, different kind of relationship, from a different period of her life. And so the major life events timeline that is in your brochure will provide some structure for our reflections about Ruth Crumb's life and the work of God in her and the work of God through her. If we had an open mic and allowed everybody who wanted to share memories of Ruth to speak, we could be here well into the evening. We know from Scripture that going past midnight causes people to fall asleep. There's a young man who fell out the window. We don't want anyone to fall out the window. That's why they're closed for one reason, not just because it's cold out. But we don't have that kind of time. We do have some time. And so the family has asked some 7 or 8 people
to try to address specific areas, different facets of Ruth's life. And that that major events timeline gives us some structure from her youth to her old age and the things that went on in between. As these different perspectives are shared, one of the very real benefits of a gathering like this is that we all gain in our knowledge and understanding and appreciation for Ruth. I knew her one way, you knew her a different way. As we share, we all get the benefit, we all get the blessing of hearing how she related to other people and the things that she did in the name and for the cause of Jesus Christ. Family members, especially grandchildren, and especially Ruth's 22 great-grandchildren, can gain a much fuller and clearer picture of the woman that they knew lovingly as great-grand, as they hear from other family members, co-workers, neighbors, and friends. So I'm going to introduce each person who has been asked to share this afternoon, and if you will just stand where you are, Roger in the back will see to it that the handheld mic is brought to you, and then you can speak right from there. We don't have to be going up and down the stairs. I split a tendon, and I know the difficulty of going up and down stairs, and we'll avoid that. But I'd like to ask Paul Seely, Ruth's cousin, to first stand, and Roger, if you'll get the microphone to Paul. Then Paul will tell us a little about Ruth's growing up years.
Actually, I'm her nephew, and I have known her all my life. Others will cover all other parts of her life, I'm sure, but I remember her and my sister as visiting her in her childhood home in Grandview, Washington. And it was quite a unique experience. We lived in another little town of Leavenworth, and we used to get to go over to Grandview once in a while and see Ruth. I can remember her long braided hair. I remember her sitting in the front row of the Free Methodist Church in Grandview. And she always sat up at the front, on the front row, because she led the songs with a little, pipe? Yeah, pitch pipe. And that was rather unique to us. In the Free Methodist Church at that time, they didn't allow organs or pianos, and so she did the singing. I also remember, if I can get my paper around here, the first gift that she ever gave me that I recall was a pair of roller skates. And I have to say that Ruth always remembered her nieces and nephews, and I'm sure lots of other people too, but she remembered them with gifts every year. Later years, after she married Haven, she invited my sister and I to spend vacations in Seattle at their home, and she was so gracious to us. And coming from a small Eastern Washington community, coming to Seattle was quite a great event. So I'll leave the rest of the time for other people.
After messing up on Paul's relationship, I'm going to call on each person and let you define your own relationship. Pat Babcock, I understand, I've been told, was a co-worker and a fellow teacher, and will tell us about Ruth's teaching years at Woodridge Elementary School. Okay, right over here.
Really don't need it, but that's all right. and Ruth was, as we've learned, was a quiet soul, But when her class came to the library, and I was librarian all the years that she was there, early 70s, they were always well-behaved, and she shared a few of the unusual things that she did with her class. She was always stretching them in one way or another to grow not only in their studies but in their person. And what I remember about Ruth is I also lived on Mercer Island, and she and Haven, I taught with Haven as the first teachers at the school near where I live now. But she ordered flour by the 100 pounds, and I could not believe that anyone would make their own bread at that stage. She lived on the island. And another time she took me, I went to visit her, and she took me down to the, because they lived on the lake or had access to the lake, I don't remember. And we canoed, and she knew to go against the wind on the way so that the wind helped us get home. And we were pretty great. I wasn't a canoer. But in the school, in the Woodridge, we had a dear time. And I did have touch base with her when she was at Krista. And she also came to the Woodridge teacher gatherings when she could. And that was a very big delight.
Thank you. Stan Seeley is a Seeley. And Ruth was a Seeley before she became a Crumb, so I'm sure they're related. But he'll tell us how.
Thank you.
What did I do?
Is it okay? Okay. When I think of Ruth, I think of CIA. Not that CIA, but C, compassionate, I, intelligent, and A, adventuresome. And, of course, most of all, a devoted follower of Christ. I've cut some of this out. I'll talk to you later if you want to hear more of it. But for time's sake, I'm going to jump in at one of my early recollections. It was after the summer, after my fifth grade, I was invited to go on a big trip with Aunt Ruth, Grandfather Seeley, and Gretchen and Laurel. My role was to help watch after the two young girls. Things went well until we got to the Grand Canyon. I always wanted to be the first to see and do everything, so when the car stopped at the North Rim, I jumped out of the car, raced to the rim to look into the canyon. I didn't realize that Gretchen and Laurel, quite a few years younger than me, but able to run, were running right behind me. They slid to a stop just before the disaster of going over the edge to their deaths. This was the only time that I saw and heard Aunt Ruth visibly upset with me. And she let me know clearly that with the privilege of the trip came responsibility and that I had let her down. Learning that with privilege comes responsibility is one of the most valuable lessons anyone can learn. Ruth was a great example of realizing this. She realized that she had been privileged materially and spiritually. Therefore, she felt the obligation to share her time, talent, and treasure with those that hadn't been as blessed materially, spiritually, or both. And now the other thing that I want to share. I was teaching biology at Auburn High School in the spring of 1971. I knew that Ruth had gone to Peru to teach in a mission school in the Amazon the previous year with my cousins Sterling and Greg. I picked up my phone in Tacoma, and it was a phone patch from the physics teacher in Auburn who was transferring a ham radio call from Ruth in the jungle. She told me they desperately needed a science teacher at the mission school for the following school year. She said, I know you were going to be
going to be going to the next page. There we go.
I know you were going to be applying for sabbatical leave to go to graduate school and work on a PhD, but I am confident that you will learn more biology here in the jungle in a year than you would ever learn in a year of college, and it would be a great opportunity of service for you. I was immediately excited, but my wife Gloria was excited in a much different way. We had a 2-year-old son, Stephen, who will speak a little later, and Gloria was pregnant with our second son, David, who was to be born in August. Since Gloria had a phobia about snakes and spiders, didn't do well with heat and humidity, she had to get a very clear direction that this was God's will. After much prayer and soul searching, we decided to go to Peru and spent the 1971-72 school year at the Wycliffe Jungle Base in Yurinacocha, Peru. It was in many ways the most significant year of my life. From a biology standpoint, it was amazing. Getting to hold up the head of a live 20-foot anaconda for a photo. Letting a 10-inch bird spider walk on the playfield to show my science students that tarantulas can't outrun you. And putting a stethoscope on a 3-toed sloth that we had collected from a ringwood tree in our backyard. It was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I'll leave out the piranhas and all the other stuff because of time. More significantly, it was a profound spiritual experience. Being around a group of people similar to Aunt Ruth who were dedicating their lives to helping others. From linguists who were giving the jungle tribes a written language so that they would be able to read the Bible, to the necessary support people that were needed so that the linguists could do their important work. This included people such as teachers like Aunt Ruth and myself, pilots, mechanics, medical staff, and many others. It was great to be part of a dedicated team of people that were carrying out the biblical commandment to love and serve God and to love and serve others. As you can see, I will be eternally grateful for the significant influence Aunt Ruth had on me and, as you will hear later, my family. Thank you. I'm her nephew. Did I say that at the start?
Deb Ruth, would you stand and tell us about Ruth's years in Yemen and how she helped a number of young refugees to come to the U.S.?
Okay. My name is Gabru Berhe. And unfortunately, my family were not able to make it here for this day. And they send their condolences and their prayers for you, for all the Crumbs family and family members. There are so many things, good things to say about Ruth. And we were good friends from the moment we met. And I am the first of the 5 that immigrated with the help of Ruth to come here, and also with the help of the Crumbs, and also with this church, particularly Pastor Ray. And so our friendship started way, way back in 1970 when I was in Yemen and when she was there in Yemen too. And we were introduced to Ruth through her housekeeper, and she was teaching English in a private English school, American school, and also she was a missionary in Yemen. She was very, very happy on whatever she was doing, and she never, ever complained till the last time I saw her. She never complained that she even had a headache or even had a cold. She was an amazing mom. She was eager to help everyone and whoever needs it. And no matter whom we were, and no matter what we believe, she was always with us. She was a mother of many. She was a mother of many races. And she was a mother of a lot of people, all different countries. What I remember most of her was her prayers. When we were introduced to her house, we often go, me and a friend of mine, we'd go there, visit her. course, we do a little Bible study. And whenever she prays for us, even though we didn't express what we needed. And it was exactly what we needed. And we felt so happy. So I felt so relieved that all my prayers were answered. Of course, there were a lot of prayers that were answered at that time too. There was no church in Yemen. Of course, a different country. And she told us, well, if you want to attend church, there's a way of attending church. And me and my friend, she took us to how to get into the American embassy premises where we were gathering for service. And once in a while, we go there, and it was an experience that she taught us. A lot of things have been said about her. Everything is true. And if it was not for her, I wouldn't be here. If it was not for her, I wouldn't have the family I have now. And she is my inspiration. She will be my inspiration. She was my counselor too. And I will miss her dearly, very much.
Thank you. Stephen Seeley, he's another one of the Seeleys, and Stan has already acknowledged that Stephen is his oldest son, so I think we're on safe ground in saying that.
Yeah, I knew her as my great aunt, and since I'm 45 years old, I guess I've been able to know her for maybe almost half of her life, not quite. My first memory of her was, I guess, when she had come back from Peru, and before going to Yemen, she came to our house for a visit and made a stone soup. I couldn't figure out how you could make soup with a rock, but before we were done, we were very excited about stone soup. I didn't have a lot of contact with her for a lot of my growing up years because she was out and about. And yet when I was 20 years old, I found out how much of a sense of adventure she had, because she wanted to get me to Taiwan, where she was teaching at the time, and have me spend the summer with her. And I thought, wow, that's farther than I've ever gone before. And she wanted me to fly by myself and meet her, and I did it. And I got there and found her to be somebody who lived life to the fullest. Before we were done, and she went back home and left me there for a month to take her classes, she took me to a silkworm farm to see how they'd figured out how to make silkworms weave on planks so that the blankets kind of appeared instead of having to be worked together. She took me to a tea farm where they grew tea, and then did tea tasting afterwards. We went snorkeling on the Pacific. We went to an incredible gorge. We went to the National Museum in Taipei. This lady knew how to live life to the fullest. And I could hardly keep up with her, even though she was 70 and I was 20. But she did more than that. She inspired me. She gave me a sense of She gave me a sense of the value of spending your life for others. And after I came back to the States, after that summer, there was something really birthed in me. Not only a love for Asia, I tried to learn Chinese calligraphy after I came back, and that failed miserably. But a lingering desire to be involved in foreign missions. And 10 years later, I had the chance to go to mainland China as a teacher of English, like she had done. And a lot of that was inspired by her. And when I called her up and told her the news that I was going there, she was so pleased. It wasn't enough for her to go. She just really wanted to have other people catch the vision and join her. And so she supported me with prayers, and she didn't make me flip houses. She was a part of my support team and helped in great measure for me to stay there. And it was really neat. As I served over there for about 4 or 5, 6 years, I continued to be single. But I met a girl there, an American girl from Oklahoma, actually, and began dating her and called Aunt Ruth to tell her the great news, because I was 35 and it was taking me forever. So I thought she'd be excited. Well, she was excited, but she also wasn't surprised. She said for the last few months she'd been moved by God to pray for me in just that way. And so she congratulated me. She sent me a poem about love and just the gift that is, and so really celebrated that with me, and then flew all the way at 86 years old from Seattle to Oklahoma, all the way, not really after she's been around the world, but for me that was just such a sense of her love and support. She was there at the wedding in Oklahoma, and then at 86 years old, when we came back home for a few months to begin our marriage before going back to China, she said, "You guys need a car." And I have a car, and I'm thinking I'm getting a little old to drive. You take the car. I'll start learning the bus system. Could not believe it, and wasn't sure if we should accept, but she wouldn't take no for an answer, so we drove her car. When I think of Aunt Ruth, I also think of adventure. I think of generosity. I think of a zest for life that just wouldn't quit. And so for those of you that didn't get to know her that well, I hope you've gotten to know her a little better. She was wonderful, and can't wait to see her again.
Carol Nielsen is going to tell us about some of the time that Ruth has lived in Mount Vernon. And Carol's daughter, Esther, gardened with Ruth and went with her when she went to the Ukraine.
Yes, she did. God brought Ruth to Mount Vernon, and he brought her there for a reason. It was part of his plan, and we could really see that as time went. At first, when we knew her, we thought she was just a starchy old woman, and we didn't know her heart, but as time went, we got to really know her and appreciate her, and it changed my daughter's life. She was not able to be here, so she lives in Coeur d'Alene, and they were just with us, and she's newly pregnant and things like that. So she wanted to write a tribute to Ruth, so I'm going to read that to you. I have three sons, David, Jonathan, and Benjamin, and we had Esther. And when we had Esther, I was teaching a Good News Club in my home in another place, and my husband said, "Let's call her Esther." I said, "Well, that's only an old lady's name. You know, we can't use that." And we called her Esther. And she has been truly an Esther. She carries a lot of the same traits that Ruth has because of her strength, her tenacity, her love for God, the gardening, and traveling. So she has a lot of the same characteristics, and I would hope she would live a long life and follow through in that way. This is from her perspective as a young girl. She said, "In elementary school, middle school, and high school, she was my neighbor, a serious woman, energetically attending her garden, faithfully participating in church activities, and her house full of exchange students from other countries. To me, she was a bit stern, though nice enough to say hello over the fence and to offer veggies and fruit from her garden, but then scolding my cats and rabbits for making it their second litter box and lunch buffet. I guess she was scolding me to keep my animals in check. But as I grew up and got to know Ruth beyond our garden fence, her seriousness, and the 60 years of age between us, I realized there was so much I could learn from her life. I learned she was brave, traveling alone to several other countries to teach English as a second language, and of course, to share about Jesus. I learned she was hospitable, opening her home to exchange students from around the world to stay with her. I learned she was adventurous. When still at 82 years old, she was planning a trip to the Ukraine to teach English. as a second language and invited me to join her. It is here where I live for a few months with Ruth, and we share daily life, teaching, gardening, and sharing Christ. She was an incredible gardener, a home where her veggies and fruit would overflow to others' homes. And wherever she went, even growing a garden in the Ukraine, at Christwood, her retirement home, when she was in her upper 80s. She was stubborn, but in a good way, about helping needy people and sharing Jesus Christ with them. She was serious and stern, but when she did smile or joke, she was a treasure, and you didn't want to miss it. She was a mentor who saw in me the ability to be a teacher and a brave woman of God, living with purpose for Him. She was my elderly neighbor, but became my friend and mentor. I will always treasure time with her. Treasure the grandmas, grandpas, and older people in your life. You never know what things God has planned for you when you get to know them. Esther Nielsen Brink.
Thank you. Victor Kiesel is from the Ukraine and also lives in the Mount Vernon area, and he has some reflections concerning Ruth.
I speak English not very well. My son better speak English.
I'll be the translator since I speak English a lot better because we lived, basically grew up in the U.S. First of all, I want to thank for those who let us know about this so that we could make it up here. Maybe all of you guys are... Maybe you are wondering why all 11 of us are here. If it wasn't for her, we would not be here. When we just came to U.S., we had 9 little kids. We couldn't find a place to live. Apartments, they were too small. They were only 4 or 3 bedrooms. When we called for houses that were renting, they always asked, how many kids do you have? It was 15 years ago. There wasn't too many houses for sale or rent even. We were searching daily from day to day. The day came that my dad just went into the bathroom where he prayed in there. But during that day, he couldn't pray. He just fell to his knees. He said, Lord, you look after my plans and give me peace and joy in my heart. It was hard. There was time that he was sitting in front of documents to be put in jail. He was in Soviet Union. But he was alone at that time. He was afraid, yes, but he knew what to do. But in this situation, he didn't know what to do. So we pulled off from one place, didn't really stick to another place. So he just got up from his knees and took one of the little kids in his hands. We lived in a 3-story apartment on the 3rd floor where people that came seasonally for seasonal work. And he just kept singing those words that he said previously. And he heard a phone call. My mom's brother called him. He said he saw a house that was for rent. We looked through all sorts of programs everywhere. People said that you need a special house. They sometimes even were, some of them were actually mean when they how they answered, but we came and we saw Ruth Crum in the front yard. She was fixing up the house. We started talking to her. She asked how many kids we had. My mom's brother, he said around 6. Yes, he didn't say the truth, but we had to say it that way. He felt bad for his sister. And then Ruth Crum turns around to my mom. You know, you can't miss that. How many children do you have? That's pretty obvious. My dad remembered this phrase without an interpreter. And he has no accent when he says it. My mom is looking down to the floor without answering. He said, her brother said, close to the truth, but still not all. He said, one kid less. Ruth looked up to heavens. And she says, my head tells me, don't take this family. But a voice in the heart tells her to take the family. We knew that it was Jesus who was talking for us. We started to have hope. She said she might take us, and so we went to the car. We came to the car. The house was actually pretty small. It was 1,200 square feet. She was putting in white carpet. Later on, we understood that she was worried about it. But she went to the car, and she says, I want to pray with you. We started praying. We asked God for a house. And she was the one who finished the prayer. My dad was interested in what she was saying. He asked my mom's brother, because he spoke English, how did she pray? He said that she really blessed us so that my dad would find work, so that he could pay for the house, and so that he would live like all the Americans. And what I'd like to say, that her blessings, it stuck to her family. Day after she prayed, he got a job that he worked for 15 years. He doesn't speak very good English, because for about 10 years he worked two jobs, evening cleaning and during the day. But everything's well at work. And he is very thankful to God and to Ruth. We truly live like all the Americans now. Praise the Lord. Ruth helped us kids as well, learning English. Got a lot of books. She got us all jobs at working for a farmer, picking strawberries, working in the garden, like she usually loved to work. We grew up in that really fast. There is a lot to say and more testimonies to talk about. He's thankful, and we are all thankful to God that there was Ruth, and to all her family for their mom. And we always pray and prayed so that God would bless Ruth. But we know for sure she prayed a lot more for us. That we see our kids in church and that we all have good behaviors and obedient, that's all from prayers of Ruth. We believe that. And it's proud to be, for all you guys, to be proud of your mom for who she was. She went to where? She always wanted to be. Where each one of us wants to be. Where all of us want to be. May the Lord bless you guys all. Thank you for the word.
Thank you, Roger. I get to go last. No, I don't need that. Blessing after blessing is what we've heard this afternoon. Blessings that have flowed from the Lord through Ruth to all of us. Sterling asked me to go last and to kind of, I guess, reflect on the reflections. He asked me to give you some things to take home. I think he expected 3 points because that's what preachers do. But I have 4 things I want you to take home. And the first is this, especially directed to you who are Ruth's children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. If you have kind of zoned out or tuned out as other people were talking, come back in, okay? Give me your focus for just a couple of minutes. These are the things, some of the things, there are many things. These are some of the things I think you should take from the things that you've heard from all of these people this afternoon. The first is this, be thankful for the rich spiritual heritage that you have received. Ruth's parents, especially her father, provided strong, though quiet, spiritual leadership. Ruth provided leadership, too. Don't just send your kids to church. Take them and let them see your own spiritual interest and growth in Christ outside the church at home. Secondly, none of your time growing up is really wasted. All of your life experiences, good and bad, successes and failures, strengths and weaknesses, all of those things go into making you who you are and prepare you for the future that God has for you. Thirdly, when life seems chaotic and even catastrophic, it doesn't mean your life is over. It was hard for Ruth when her husband died, leaving her a single mom with 4 children. But if anything, Ruth's responses to her circumstances propelled her into an even greater ministry that affected people around the world. Fourth, never think that because you are old or restricted in mobility, that you're no longer useful as an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Psalm 92 says, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age." Did you hear that this afternoon? "They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, 'The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him.'" This one woman's life, lived to the glory of God, has provided spiritual children in North America, Central America, South America, the Middle East, Europe, Africa, and Asia. What a life. What a blessing. One of our newest church members is from Taiwan. Michelle Sun did not know Ruth Crum, but when she heard about Ruth bringing the love of Jesus to her countrymen, she asked if she could share in service today. So Michelle is going to be singing a Chinese gospel song in Chinese titled "My Dearest Friend." You won't know if she gets the words right, but trust her, she does. And you have the words in English in your brochure.
我的心在天天追。 Ray Reese, and I know that you're looking at this old man up here, and I suppose he's going to preach a long sermon, but I'll try not to do that. What beautiful music. What wonderful testimonies. They have chosen as one of the passages of Scripture, Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men. And he will live with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." He said, "Write them down, for these words are trustworthy and true." I'd just like to say, I like to emphasize my sermon's all gone. How can you say much more than what you have said, except this? This is a celebration of our life. But how did this come about? How is it that these testimonies can be given about dear Ruth? I had the privilege of knowing her for about 10 years, and she attended the church that I am one of the pastors. I got an opportunity to learn of some of the things that she was doing and participate with her in some ways. But it's a celebration of life that was made possible through what? Just she was a good person? No. Because of Jesus Christ. Resurrection from the dead. Let me just read to you a brief passage. I'm reading from John 21, verse 15. When they had finished, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon Peter, John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Then feed my sheep." Again, Jesus said to the Son of Man, Simon, do you truly love me? He answered, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, Take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, Do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Let me just shortly remind you of a few things that happened in Peter's life. 3 years before this, Peter, along with others, were out fishing. And Jesus saw them fishing, and he called them to become what? Fishers of men. Well, later on, he was one of the special ones. And after they had finished 3 years of ministry, Jesus said, Who do the people think I am? I've been preaching and teaching and healing and do all these wonderful things. Now, who do they say I am? You remember what Peter said? You are the Christ, Messiah, the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say? Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, on this rock, Jesus being the Messiah and the Son of God, I will build my church. Well, a little later on, Jesus told them that he was going to be crucified. And he said, I'll be placed before men, and all 12 of you are going to deny me. Oh, Peter said, Oh, no, never, never would I deny you. And what happened a few days later? Three times, different people asked him, Aren't you one of the followers of Jesus? And three times he answered, No, I'm not a follower of Jesus. And then, of course, Jesus was crucified. Third day, he rose from the dead. That's why we celebrate. We celebrate a living God, not something that's dead. We celebrate one who died for you and me individually. And he asked you and me, Do you love me? And if we love him, we're going to be doing the things that our dear Ruth did. Loving people. One person asked Jesus, What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, and soul. But what else? Love your neighbor as yourself. This is what Ruth shared with us in her life. That's where it comes from. It is God's love dwelling in her. You remember after Pentecost, after the crucifixion of Jesus, the resurrection, you remember that he appeared to the disciples and others, 500, for 40 days. And then he told them to assemble themselves. And at the celebration of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came on Peter. He got up and he preached. Here's a fisherman. He hasn't had 3 years of seminary, no PhDs. 3,000 people are converted. Why did that happen? Because Peter loved Jesus. Jesus was living in his heart. The Spirit was filling his heart with love. And shortly after that, Peter and John are walking down to the temple and they see a man who was lame from birth. And the man says, Have you got any money? I'm hungry. I don't have any money, said Peter. But in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. How did that happen? It happened because not of Peter, because of Jesus Christ's Spirit empowering him what to say and what to do. And so we celebrate today the reality of a whole new word that came into the Greek language. There was no word for the kind of love that God was talking about. Oh, you know, we talk about eros, which means romantic love, and we're always in love with somebody and this kind of thing. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's not talking about philia, which is brotherly love. We all can deal with that. But he's talking about that special kind of love, agape, which can come into our hearts and empower us to do what God calls us to do. And so he asks all of us today, do you love me? Do you love me? Because if you love me, you're going to want to feed the hungry, as Ruth did. You're going to want to encourage people to grow in their minds, in their hearts. And do you love me? That's the question that comes to all of us. And I pray that all of us will say, Lord Jesus, you know I love you. Well, let's turn now to let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing our last hymn. Oh, Lord Jesus, what a wonderful God you are, and what a privilege it is to worship with a group of people who love you so much. People whose lives have been deeply touched. Some who've been from other countries, but Lord, you sent Ruth, as you sent all of us, to be an influence upon the whole world. But we can't be there in action. We can be there in prayer and in giving of our lives and of our monies to that kind of work. So, Lord, we just want to praise you today for Ruth Crum. But I want to praise you even more for Jesus Christ, who helped Ruth and made it possible for Ruth to become the very person that she was. And so, Lord, as you said to Peter, do you love me more than these? May we say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, you know that we love you. May Ruth's life be an inspiration for all of us. May we go forth from here with renewed energy to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn and sing now our closing hymn, How Great Thou Art.
Would you please receive the benediction? May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you life eternal. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
This concludes the service here this afternoon. We want to thank you for coming. There is a reception immediately following downstairs. Just go out the main door here into the hallway, turn right and turn left, and go downstairs, and you'll find where the food is. And give us a chance, if you would, to get the family down there first, and then we'll dismiss everyone else to follow and meet with the family downstairs. There we can continue to share stories of Ruth's influence and to just rejoice together. Thank you.